Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There will be setbacks and false starts. There are many who won't agree with every decision or policy I make as president. And we know the government can't solve every problem. But I will always be honest with you about the challenges we face. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. Above all, I will ask you to join in the work of remaking this nation the only way it's been done in America for 221 years. Block by block, brick by brick, calloused hand by calloused hand.
President-elect Barack Obama from his victory speech last night. And in case you went to sleep at a normal hour and missed it, here is what New York sounded like when the speeches were over and we opened the phones at 12:30 in the morning.
Everywhere else in the world.
I'm just out on the street. I just walked out in my neighborhood in Fort Greene and at St. Paul and in Lafayette, there's just a throng of people. There's a few people playing drums, people are all dancing in unison. It's just a total street party here. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're just driving around and we're partying right now, pretty much just honking the horn at people we see in the streets that are pro-Obama, you know?
So we were just coming out of a party at a friend's house at Carroll Gardens, and we walked past a little bar called Abilene's, and they had a sign outside called Yes We Can, and there were people screaming, and it does feel like New Year's Eve, only longer. It's going to last longer. It's going to last at least 4 years.
We came out of a restaurant Colors on Lafayette and turning down Broadway. A skateboarder appeared in front of us. And check this image. It was a young man on a skateboard with a huge American flag riding down Broadway.
I took a cab from Midtown Manhattan back to Queens, and the entire way back it was people screaming and, you know, having a good time, honking their horns, you know, like a guy, you know, jumped out in front of my cab and was like, Obama.
There were 40,000 people walking down 125th Street West and East, dancing and singing and waving their arms in the air and just totally joyous.
My neighborhood is completely quiet and dark, but I am just bouncing off the walls here in my house, and I just started crying.
Callers from around the area after Obama's victory speech last night, 12:30 to 12:50 in the morning, ending there with Farah in Whitestone, whose neighborhood did not erupt, she told us, as she found herself alone with her tears of joy in her car at a 7-Eleven. Well, our phones and our website are open for you all this morning after, and we posted a time capsule question on our website. What will President Obama actually change by 2012? Post your answers to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What will President Obama actually change by 2012? Post your answers, your predictions to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have a general comments page there, too, for anything else you want to say on this historic occasion. John Meacham, Newsweek's managing editor, is here. His new book is American Lion, Andrew Jackson in the White House. And Cheryl Cashin is here, Georgetown law professor and author of The Agitator's Daughter and her previous book, The Failures of Integration. Welcome back to both of you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Cheryl Cashin, I don't remember anything like that street partying for an election in my lifetime. It was more like when the Mets or Yankees won the World Series. Was it like that where you were?
Yes. I mean, I had to watch it through TV because I'm the mother of twins. But, you know, the people went down in front of the White House and there was, you know, spontaneous parties. And, you know, you can see in the comments and the pictures, I think this election indicates that what we have here is a permanent taking hold of multiracial, multi-class coalition politics in America that vindicates the grand experiment we first tried in Reconstruction 150 years ago and was resurrected in the civil rights movement. And, you know, people like my dad, you know, I am the agitator's daughter, you know, civil rights soldiers who fought for this idea, this profound idea that people of color were welcome at the ballot box, not just at the ballot box, but welcome to run for office and hold the office,
now,
has
Cheryl,
been vindicated.
That's very optimistic, that permanent taking hold for somebody who wrote The Failures of Integration just 3 years ago.
Well, that was about where people live and why. But in the last chapter of that book, I said that the hope for America was in our changing demographics. Four states are already majority minority. Half of America's largest cities are already majority minority. And the untold story among pundits throughout this election who lack confidence in non-black people to vote for Barack Obama is that a lot of people already live with and embrace diversity. They have what I call cultural dexterity in because they live it every day. They have no choice in the majority-minority milieus but to embrace it. And I think Barack Obama just accelerated that process by having a narrative of speaking to people's hopes rather than their fears.
John Meacham, was it partying in the streets wherever you were last night?
Well, there was partying once we closed the magazine at the coffee desk. So I haven't slept since Sunday. So
are you revealing the bias of your staff at Newsweek? Or
no, it was simply the actual doing of the work. We got it done. We spent 2 years on a 50,000 word behind the scenes project that we just published overnight, and so. Yes, we can get it out the door. That was the great moment for Newsweek, and we're very proud of that. You know, I think there are, at the risk of sounding starstruck and gooey, there are moments in history when the appropriate response is being starstruck and gooey. There's no question that this is something that people will remember as long as, to quote Winston Churchill in another context, as long as the English language is spoken in any corner of the globe, and probably a lot of other languages. I was a skeptic about Senator Obama's chances. I am a white Southerner, and I thought and was vindicated, at least in this thought, that if he did not pick off a couple of Southern states, he couldn't run. He couldn't do it, and of course he did. And I think one of the remarkable things about this moment and going forward is how well he has managed this question of identity. In that he has a core of supporters who, like Ronald Reagan's core of supporters, I think will have such faith in him that they'll forgive him his compromises. And I think that he has the capacity here, for all the reasons we're just talking about, to really be an important figure, but partly because he's managing this with such calm. He made everybody, he wrote about this in The Audacity of Hope, he enabled everyone to feel good about voting for him, about they saw in him kind of what they wanted to see. And that's a great gift in political leadership in a democracy.
And listeners, you can answer the time capsule question on the air here as well as on the web at 212-433-WNYC. What will President Obama actually change by 2012, or anything else you want to say or ask our guests? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. This is everybody's moment this morning, no matter who you voted for, and we'll definitely take some calls from McCain voters as the program goes on. You can call in now, too, 212-433-WNYC on this historic morning after. Cheryl, what does it mean that people were celebrating around the world at this news? I've seen dispatches already from New Delhi and Kenya and the United Arab Emirates, for goodness sake. I don't think there's ever been such an international investment in the election of a U.S. president.
Right. I heard a commentator last night say that a poll had been conducted among 22 countries about which the population, who they would prefer, and 22 out of 22 countries preferred Barack Obama. I think it means that America is a beacon of hope to the world again, and that we're, you know, people are waking up across the globe and looking at the fact that colored man, a black man named Barack Hussein Obama, has ascended to the highest office on earth. And I think beyond the fact that many of the colored people in the world, and I hope a lot of black boys this morning, are ceasing to see limits for themselves, I think they're looking at America anew, and it's reminding them of, you know, what this country stands for, this hope and opportunity and freedom and democracy, and it is so refreshing and wonderful.
From our webpage already, this morning I felt like I woke up in a different country, one in which people took responsibility and went out and voted for a new future. Hope has returned in a big way. Now let's get on with it and help this leader build this country from the ground up. How exciting. Another one. This was a victory for children of foreigners. This was a victory for non-traditional families. This was a victory for the educated, the thoughtful, and those who believe in reason. This was a victory for those who believe that government should be better, not just smaller. This was a victory for those who think that paying taxes is part of our patriotic duty. That's a lot of liberal expectation, John Meacham. Does it set up both opportunity and danger for President Obama?
I think there's definitely a danger that if perhaps there is still poverty and disease and misfortune in the world come, say, Sunday, there may be disappointment in the land. One person who I know is completely down to earth about expectations about how the millennium is not about to dawn, and you heard it last night in Grant Park, is the president-elect of the United States. That was a remarkable speech in the annals of acceptance speeches, victory speeches, in how he took a page from Andrew Jackson, from Franklin Roosevelt, from, again, Churchill, from Kennedy, who talked about how hard things would be. The road, you just played the clip, the road will be hard, the climb will be steep, we aren't going to agree. This is a man who is reality-based, and there is hope, and there's everything about American history suggests, including this election, that there is reason to hope and reason to stay in the arena and to continue to try to perfect the union. My sense is that there was a Democratic senator in the age of Jackson who remarked that Americans in their politics tend to be slightly more interested in the apostle than in the details of their faith. And I think Obama has an opportunity here to marshal this remarkable feeling you're reflecting and you're gathering into real political action. I don't think this guy is a gauzy dreamer. I think he's a doer.
Pilar in New Brunswick. You're on WNYC. Good morning, Pilar.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, and you?
Good. I'm a university student down here, and you know, I've been on the side of the Democrats for years. I've actually really loved Barack Obama for years, and I'm so glad that he's our president today. But I just wanted to say that what I think that he will bring for our country, and at least for my generation, is just this sense of unity. I think last night you talked about Americans as a single people, and I don't know that I've really heard someone do that successfully in the last, 8 years. I think we've been so divided politically, racially, all kinds of ways. I just think he's going to bring unity.
Thank you very much, and let's hope so. By the way, we're expecting a statement from President Bush about the election results in about a minute, so we will go to that live when it happens. But it's not all unity, Cheryl Cashin. Here's another post on our site. Welcome to the United States of Obamistan. We as a nation have demonstrated clearly that we destroy excellence and reward mediocrity. So Obama has his work cut out for him, because as much as there are the Pilars in New Brunswick of the world, there are those people posting and thinking things like that.
Well, I thought there was a very generous and wise moment in Barack Obama's speech last night, in which he reached out to people who did not vote for him. And he knows, he said, I still need to earn your trust and your support. And he said explicitly, I need you, and I'm going to hear your voices. And I think the reason that Barack Obama has been successful as he has been with white voters.
And I have to jump in, because here is President Bush right now. We go live to the White House.
I congratulated him and Senator Biden on their impressive victory. I told the president-elect he can count on complete cooperation from my administration as he makes the transition to the White House. I also spoke to Senator John McCain. I congratulated him on a determined campaign that he and Governor Palin ran. The American people will always be grateful for the lifetime of service John McCain has devoted to this nation. And I know he'll continue to make tremendous contributions to our country. No matter how they cast their ballots, all Americans can be proud of the history that was made yesterday. Across the country, citizens voted in large numbers. They showed a watching world the vitality of America's democracy and the strides we have made toward a more perfect union. It shows a president whose journey represents a triumph of the American story, a testament to hard work, optimism, and faith in the enduring promise of our nation. Many of our citizens thought they would never live to see that day. This moment is especially uplifting for a generation of Americans who witnessed the struggle for civil rights with their own eyes. And four decades later, see a dream fulfilled. A long campaign has now ended, and we move forward as one nation. We're embarking on a period of change in Washington, yet there are some things that will not change. The United States government will stay vigilant in meeting its most important responsibility, protecting the American people. And the world can be certain this commitment will remain steadfast under our next commander-in-chief. There's important work to do in the months ahead, and I will continue to conduct the people's business as long as this office remains in my trust. During this time of transition, I will keep the President-elect fully informed on important decisions. And when the time comes on January the 20th, Laura and I will return home to Texas with treasured memories of our time here, with profound gratitude for the honor of serving this amazing country. It'll be a stirring sight to watch President Obama, his wife Michelle, and their beautiful girls step through the doors of the White House. I know millions of Americans will be overcome with pride at this inspiring moment that so many have waited so long. I know Senator Obama's beloved mother and grandparents would have been thrilled to watch the child they raised ascend the steps of the Capitol and take his oath to uphold the Constitution of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Last night, I extended an invitation to the President-elect and Mrs. Obama to come to the White House. And Laura and I are looking forward to welcoming them as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
President Bush, live at the White House, and Cheryl Cashin, Georgetown Law professor, author of The Agitator's Daughter and the Failures of Integration. That was pretty gracious for the man known to many as the Divider-in-Chief.
Yes, it was. McCain was gracious as well. And I think perhaps Barack Obama is ushering, hopefully, in an era of more gracious political discourse. I mean, he, more than any other candidate in American history, has created a political discourse that encourages alliances, interracial alliances and inter-ideological alliances, I hope.
So, John Meacham, before you go, your biography of Andrew Jackson, the first Democratic Party president, is out. Is there any kind of line from there to here?
Absolutely. The Jackson presidency, 1828, as it began, he came in as a candidate of change. He came in as someone who was the first president to genuinely be a self-made man. He was the first of his generation. And for all his flaws and all of his sins, and they are enormous, he was a step on that road that we have now seen arrive with Obama. And God willing, that road will keep on going.
John Meacham, editor of Newsweek and author of American Lion, Andrew Jackson in the White House, will be doing a live event in New York on Sunday, November 23rd, 7:30 p.m. at the 92nd Street Y, in conversation with Walter Isaacson and Cheryl Cashin, Georgetown law professor, author of The Agitator's Daughter, a memoir of four generations of one extraordinary African-American family, as well as her previous book, The Failures of Integration. Thanks for being our first guests in the president-elect Barack Obama era.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So much more to come today. More of your calls and comments. Andrea Bernstein and Jonathan Capehart, our next guests. Stay with us.